I hope today to share a little light on who we are in Christ and maybe a little bit about why we struggle once we're born again. Like every one of us, when I was born again, I didn't quite understand all that was going on. All I knew was that if I asked Jesus into my heart, I can go to heaven. And if I didn't, I would end up in hell. And so I knew something happened to me when I accepted Christ. I could feel something changing in me. But that began a puzzle later on, because I still had desires to sin. I still had insecurities and fears and envies and pride and all the things that I had before I was saved. But yet I made a commitment to Christ to serve Him, to be born again, and to serve Him. I really wanted to serve God. So, like every believer probably went through, was the questions. Am I born again? Did it really take? Or did I miss it? What happened when I was born again? And so, as we begin to discuss some of the practical imagery of what happened to you once you were saved, it can help you, and prayerfully it'll help you the way it helped me, to understand that in the midst of battling things internally, self-doubt, questions, pride, envy, strife, and even desires for sin, knowing how and why God had to go through all this to help us to make it to heaven, to spend eternity with Him, that we have a battle once we're born again that we didn't have before we were born again. And the reason why is because we were left with this old body. This old body that you're wearing, that you were born in, is rotting off of us. The moment we're born, we live so many years, but eventually everyone dies. And this body that you're wearing, this outward man, the flesh, you can call it, also is capable of taking sickness and disease. And we have, by faith, don't have to necessarily give in to that. But also this old body, and I say old because I'm older, but this body is aging. You can't stop it. It's not going to be fixed. God wants to replace it at the trumpet with a new body, an eternal body. But until that time of the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns, while we're on this earth, we are committed to living in this body. And this body is the leftover from the old man. This body is from this earth. It belongs to this earth. And God is going to replace it like He's going to replace the earth with a new body that's eternal, that doesn't desire sin or sickness or disease or sadness or loneliness. And so when I begin to understand by Scripture, some of which we'll talk about today, the imagery of the transition that happened to me that started when I was saved, but isn't complete really until the trumpet sounds, that God is taking me from the family of Adam, who I was born into by my earthly parents. And when I accepted Christ, I received the new nature. And that new nature brought to life my inner man. And now I'm on a path to where, when it's all said and done, when the trumpet sounds and when we're spending eternity with God, there'll be nothing that I have in me that came from Adam. Everything I have will come from my Father, my new Father, my Heavenly Father. So it's an amazing transition that God is doing in us, that He's able to take us from one species, one creature, the human race, and really transform us as we go with Him into being a child of God, His completely children of God, which allows us to be with Him for eternity. Now, when you're born again, and usually you know the testimony, someone who's born again, they're excited about church, maybe a young kid, young man who's struggling in an area of the world, could be drugs, could be something like that, comes to church finally and commits himself to Christ. But yet after 6 months or 6 weeks of him really worshiping God and serving God and excited about serving God, he disappears. And you wonder, what happened? Well, he got tempted back into what he came out of. Well, God, I thought he was freed. Isn't it true that he who the Son sets free is free indeed? Why is it if you're free that you're still struggling with an area? Some of the verses that we've taken for granted, and Lord, I thought I was free because you said that I was free. Anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. And we want that freedom to be in our life easily. And that God would love that himself, you know, because that's how heaven's going to be, or eternity. It's going to be easy to be holy. It's going to be easy to serve God. If I were to ask 1,000 Christians, I'm sure I'd get 1,000 answers that if I were to ask them, do you want to live holy? Do you really desire, like, to serve God? Probably 1,000 Christians are going to say, yes, I really, really wish I could be that man of God. And or that person of God. I really wish I could be that holy, but it's a hard fight. And so what really has happened with most Christians is they've given up on the fight. They got tired of fighting and settled for a lesser walk with God. Then that's possible. Now, we can wait till we get to heaven and the trumpet sounds and we receive a new body. Praise God. But we don't have to wait. We can begin the transformation now. And begin to live more and more out of our inner man and out of our spirit now. And walk more and more into all the promises of God now. And not just the promises, but the characteristics of love, joy, peace. And so as we discuss some of these scriptures, I'm praying that the image that's in me will be able to, you'll be able to see who you really are. And it will help get rid of some of the condemnation, feelings of condemnation for struggling. And some of the defeat and giving up, like, why, I must be that messed up to have to struggle. I thought I was saved, maybe I'm not saved. But in all honesty, the moment you're saved, God picked a fight for you with your flesh, with your outward man. And you think, well, who is this outward man? Why do I have this outward man? Well, God has a path for us once we're born again. To what's called to transition into all that he wants us to be. So the job isn't complete the moment you're born again. You have a fight with your outward man. We're going to look at some of these verses here. If you'll come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to use one famous verse that we all know. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, in these verses I'm going to read today, you will see what I'm talking about and see some of the battle that you're in and allow you not to take it personal that you're a failure when you're struggling with things. Many of us have personality. Every one of us has personality battles, and it could be from your characteristics as a child. It could be from your upbringing. It could be from your DNA. But everyone has different characteristics. And so it might be that you're strong-willed, it might be that you're prideful, it might be that you're intimidated, it might be that you're quiet or you're loud. There are many different things, personality-wise, that really don't reflect who you are and who God is making you. And so when we battle with depression or defeat or pride or envy or jealousy or selfishness, these are areas that if we take it personal, we will feel that we're just that horrible. Where really you can see who you are in Christ and who he's making you. Then you can say, I'm not that. So when someone comes to me and says, I'm just a liar. I can say, you know, because they exaggerate. I can say, well, really, you are a born again child of God. Now you may struggle with lying. But you yourself aren't necessarily a liar. If you give into it, you can be labeled a liar. But the fact that you desire to exaggerate, or the desire to sin, or the fact that you desire to be depressed, or desire to be selfish, doesn't necessarily say that you are that way. It is your fight, but where is the source of that coming from the moment you're born again? So I asked all those preachers, why is it that believers desire to sin? And every one of them said, well, because it's human nature. And my answer to them was, yeah, but I don't have a human nature anymore. I have a nature of Christ which replaced the human nature. So because I have a Christ nature in me, a nature of Christ, a born-again nature of righteousness, that means that my desires and instincts are naturally now, spiritually naturally, for holiness and love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and mercy and grace, and not pride and selfishness and sin. When I was born again, I received the nature of light and life. And because of that, that nature pushes out the desire for holiness, for righteousness, for goodness, for mercy on other people, for gentleness and kindness. But I know lots of Christians who aren't that way. They aren't gentle. They aren't kind. They may be selfish. I'm not talking about myself, of course. And I know many Christians who struggle with areas their whole life. Now, one man I heard a testimony of, and I like it because he was from Canada. But he was out one winter, and you'll understand this if you're raised in snow. The snow will fall, and if you own a vehicle, you have to get out with a shovel and shovel the snow off of the driveway. Otherwise, the snow will come again in a day or two, and it will pack up and turn into ice. And so you have to constantly go out and shovel the snow off of the driveway throughout the winter. And every teenager boy knows that's his job, that he's supposed to go do that. And in fact, when I was a kid, I'd go do other people's driveways and sidewalks and make extra money. Well, this man had a testimony. He was out shoveling the snow, and he worked extra hard at it. It was heavy. And he suffered a heart attack and actually died on the driveway in the snow. And praise God that it was a miracle, but I'm sure it was not by accident, that there was two paramedics walking down the sidewalk when he died right in front of them. And they were able to work on him with CPR and bring him back to life after a few minutes. Well, this man's testimony was that all he knew was he was shoveling the snow. And the next thing he knew, the next instant, he was walking in heaven. And he's walking around heaven, and he could see heaven. He had his hands and his feet, and he was walking around heaven. And after a few minutes in heaven, I'm not sure how long it was, or I'm not even sure what all he experienced, but I know that he remembers walking around heaven and then being whoosh, brought right back into his body and looking up from the ground at these two paramedics, and they brought him back to life. Well, I use that because it's a great testimony. I believe it to be true. But it helps us to understand you and me and who we are and how we're built now that we're born again. Because you are a unique creature. Unique in the fact that there's never been a species like you that you belong to called the children of God. There's nothing in this world that can help you understand who you are. Because you are different than the world. The moment you're born again, God took out the nature of you and replaced it with a new nature from Him. Meaning now that you have a nature that doesn't belong with the body that you were born into. And that nature brought to life your inner man, the spirit. The new nature brought to life the inner man. And now you have an inner man that's alive and light and a generator of life called the new nature. And that new nature is generating life for your inner man, but it didn't bring to life your outward man. God was unable to transform your outward body until the trumpet sounds. There has to be a price paid, or a finishing of the work is a better way of wording it, before Jesus can put death, before he can get rid of death and have victory over death. Right now, people are still living and dying. Death hasn't been conquered yet. The price has been paid for, but it's not been conquered yet. But that'll happen when the trumpet sounds. Death will be done away with. We do not die in eternity. Well, no one actually dies, but death as far as our body falling off of us. So when we read this verse that says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight," this verse is traditionally taken as when you go through difficult times, you can look and believe by faith for things that you cannot see. And that's an excellent way of taking this verse, but it's not the complete version of what it means. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are confident, verse 8, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So he's talking about the body here and to be present with the Lord. So when we walk by faith and not by sight, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we're going to read some scripture here and help bring to light what it means to walk by faith and not by sight in the context, the fullness of what it means. And in that, we're going to see a lot of talk about an inward man and an outward man, an inward body and an outward body. And some of this is going to help us to see why is it that we have to struggle? Why does it have to be a battle? Why can't it just be I get born again and all my problems are gone? No more tears, no more sadness, no more fears. I thought I was a new creation, new creature. And so we are new creatures. But we're new creatures in transformation. And what makes us unique is that we're new creatures in the body of an old creature. It's quite a, when you see it, it's quite an amazing thing that God is doing with us. And it helps us to understand why we have to fight, why we have to overcome things, why when I was born again, didn't a lot of this junk leave? Some junk left, but other stuff was left. Why do I battle with stuff that other people don't battle? So let's go back to chapter 4, and we're going to read some scripture. Verse 7, we'll start there. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we're going to pause, and we're going to look here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So the way I see this is kind of like a beautiful clay pot. And inside of it is a treasure of gold. And he's talking about us. You know, like whenever you see earth in vessel, then you can see kind of that your outward body that you're wearing, it's made of this dirt of earth. I eat some green vegetables once in a while, but usually the cow eats the grass and I eat the cow. And as I eat that cow, somehow what I eat in my life, I've eaten pizza and lettuce and hamburgers and steaks and all kinds of things. And all that I ate came from this earth. It's made of the minerals of this earth. And my body is built from what I ate. Somehow I eat food and it turns into skin and nails and hair and bones. And it's amazing, this body. But this body that we're wearing is from this earth. It's made of minerals from this earth and water from this earth. And everything in our outward body is made from this earth. That's the earthen vessel. And it says inside of this earthen vessel. So I want you to see that you're wearing a body, this outward body. And when Adam, before he sinned, he was perfect. He was as perfect as God is perfect, as holy as God was holy. And he was in a body that would not take death. His body would live forever. It rebuilt itself. It was never, never designed to die. And Adam, when he sinned, he heard that God had told him that if you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. So Adam, when he ate of the fruit, you could look at it like he blinked. And in the moment that he blinked, he looked around. Everything looked the same. His hands looked the same. His body looked the same. But in that moment that he ate of the fruit, what happened was he died. Adam, who God created, died. He was now dead. He didn't exist anymore. A new creature stood in his place. Adam, the one who sinned, who now had a nature of sin. So now, all of Adam, his nature, his inner man, his outward man, all that he was now generated by a nature of darkness and sin. In Adam's brain, in Adam's mind, when he blinked, nothing changed. He could still see the tree. He still desired certain things. But he was changed in that moment into a sinner, a creature of darkness. And now his body was changed because it could take death. Now, you go to when you were born again. I remember the day I was saved. I went to the altar, and I asked Jesus into my heart. I can remember feeling just, wow, something's changing. Again, I don't know what on earth changed then. I just knew that if I were either going to go to heaven or hell, and I had to choose if I had to accept Jesus. But I knew something changed. So the moment I knelt down is like when Adam blinked. I remember beforehand going to the church. I remember going to the altar. I remember asking Jesus in my heart and feeling something happen. I remember blinking and standing up. And so even though I remember before and after, and I can remember the whole moment, I was made a different creature. And old things had passed away. I became a new creature the same way Adam became a creature of darkness. In that moment, I still had the same, I still liked the same kind of desserts. I still had the same thoughts in essence. But yet I was a new creature according to Scripture. I was born again. So what happened in that moment? Because I died the moment I was born again. Alan died and I was resurrected in newness of life. And I'm a new creature in Christ. That's why when I see God in heaven, He's going to give me a new name because I'm now born again. I'm a born again new creature. And when I get to heaven, I won't have this body. So that man who basically died pushing the snow with the shovel, let's pretend, I don't know him, but let's just pretend he was a cranky Christian. Kind of cheap and maybe a little angry, a little envious, still struggle with jealousy. And, you know, we won't say he sinned a lot, but we'll just say he struggled with desires to sin a bit, but not enough to stop him from going to heaven. So let's imagine that man goes out to shovel his snow. He's born again. He accepted Christ somewhere in his past, and he goes to church. He loves God, but he hasn't conquered the characteristics of love, joy, peace yet to have fruit of it. And many of us know Christians like that. Not that we are, of course, but we know Christians like that who are born again but not transformed yet in every area perfectly. And so let's say that man was kind of a selfish, cranky, angry, jealous type of guy, cussed once in a while, you know, just not quite there yet, but enough to go to heaven. So he had a heart attack. And then here on this earth, the two paramedics walk by and see him laying there in the snow. He's had a heart attack. But yet he's around walking around heaven in that same moment. So here's his body, his earthen vessel here on this earth. But yet he's walking around heaven. How is he walking around heaven? Many times when we think about our spirit man, we think it's like a ghost or a vapor or something mystical. But it's actually really practical. It's the inner body, the inner man. It's brought to life by the new nature. The new nature is inside the inner man and it is alive, while the outward man is left for dead. So his natural body is there on the driveway, and the paramedics are giving him CPR, trying to bring him back, and he's walking around heaven. Here's my question for you, really simple. When that man was in heaven, and let's say he was in heaven and an angel went by him and he was like, hey, you didn't acknowledge me. Was he jealous in that moment in heaven? Is there jealousy in heaven? Is there envy in heaven? Strife? Anger? Did he cuss out that angel? Hey, you almost stepped on my toes, you angel. You jerk angel, you. What's wrong with you? Or did he not have any anger? Is there anger in heaven? Is there tears in heaven? See, it's an important question because when you realize when we're in heaven, we have an inner body, which we have now. While my outward body is on the ground, I'm free from all those evil, wrong desires. The desire for me to be broken or wounded or insecure or prideful or selfish or envious or angry, all those desires, that helps me to see where those desires come from. They come from our outward man. The outward man is what contains all the brokenness and selfishness. But yet, when I'm in heaven, my body's on this earth, I'm free from all that. Because my inner man, the real person that I am, is not have any of that fight. That's why if I were to ask you honestly as a believer, do you want to be holy? Your honest answer would probably be, yes, I want to be completely sold out to God. But the reason people stop pursuing it is because they're fighting the wrong fight. They're beating the air. They try in their own strength to overcome things. And it finally breaks them down to they settle for a life where they do their best to serve God without having to finish the transformation process. And this will help understand some of the process. So we have this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body, again, now we're carrying about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. This is powerful, that we're carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might come forth. This is talking about the transition of once you're born again, that there's a fight, and the fight isn't necessary with the devil. It's not with your family. It's not with your job. It's not with this world. It's with this flesh that you're wearing. Someone said one time, your problem in life is sitting with you in that chair. Another man posted out witnessing at the carnival type thing in New Orleans. They were having the Mardi Gras, and he went out and he brought a coffin, and he put a mirror in the coffin, and he put on there, come see a dead guy. Come see a dead person. And so people line up and they come and look in the coffin. They see a mirror and they see themselves. And they say, yeah, you need to get saved. You know, you're dead because you're not born again. And that's the power of being born again, bringing dead people to life. But also after being born again is the transition to walk in the fullness of God that he has for you. And unfortunately, I believe that most Christians have given up on the fight of walking in the fullness of God simply because they don't know how to fight. And simply because the flesh doesn't just go away. You can't believe away the flesh. You know, I just wish that I didn't desire that anymore. If I didn't desire it anymore, I wouldn't fight. I have to fight it. And so the flesh doesn't just go away until we get a new body or until we pass away and go to heaven. Verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Now, these are hard words. These aren't like God wants you to be happy, happy, happy in life and successful and joyful. These are words that we kind of skip. There's death, there's flesh, destroyed, there's persecution, hard-pressed, crushed, not crushed. Not crushed means they're trying to crush you, but you're not crushed. Despair, not in despair. It means you're trying to be despair, but you're not despair. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus, this is verse 11, may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So there's life in your mortal flesh. This is the treasure inside of an earthen vessel. So there's life that wants to come forward and overtake that outward man, that earthen vessel, that mortal flesh. It wants to overtake it and make it submit to it until that mortal flesh is replaced for an immortal flesh. And since we have the same spirit of faith, verse 12. So death is working in us, but life in you. As a leader, death is working in you. That means that what are you dying to? What are you putting to death? Death is working in me that life can work in you. That this should be the goal of every Christian, that we come to a place where we're not living out of our outward man, out of our flesh, that we've made it submit to death, that the life of Christ will come forward. And then because of the death that we've allowed to work in our life, then God's able to take life and light out of us and help other people. It's a shame that many good-meaning believers are really helping people in the natural, be better in the natural. But God didn't call us just to be good natural people. He called us to go from death to life and let that life work in us and grow in us and overtake us. So the death that we're dying is to the desires and plans and ambitions of the natural body that you are still wearing. You're a new creature inside of an old creature. You're a unique species. There's no species like it in the world that's ever been created. The only reason God had to create this new species was because the human race was corrupted. And so God had to create a whole new species called the children of God through Jesus that can be born out of the family of Adam and born into the family of God. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Basically saying that there'll be a raising where we'll stand before God, all of us, like Jesus, with Jesus. And when we stand before God, we won't have our mortal bodies. Our mortal bodies will be of this earth, and they don't leave this earth. They're here forever, and they turn back into dust. For all things, verse 15, are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, verse 16, this is an important verse, because you're going to see a little bit of definition about what kind of unique species you are. You're not like your unsaved family or friends anymore. You may look like them, there may not be any difference, you may still like the same type of ice cream before you're saved and after you're saved. But the truth is, you're a different creature. You're a unique creature. The world cannot understand you, and you can't get spiritual truths from the world. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart. So that's a hint there that this walk means that you can lose heart. And this is why I believe most Christians have stopped pursuing a walk of true holiness, a walk of true fruit of the Spirit in their life, true love, joy, peace, and have settled for a lesser version, not because they want to be a lesser version of who they could be, not because they don't want to be totally sold out and holy and totally walking in God's perfect will every day of their life, but mostly I think because they've lost heart. They've given up on trying. They tried to be great. They tried to be the image of who the scripture says we should be, and they found that it just kept coming back. Why every day do I have to fight this area? And because we don't talk about it a lot, many people feel like they're alone, like no one else is as bad as I am. But truth is, if you ask someone, you'll find out everyone's fighting something, because we're all wearing bodies. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So here is talking that you have an outward man and an inward man. The inward man is being renewed. Well, what does that mean, that the inner man is being renewed? Why do I have to renew? That word renewed means rebuilt or refurbished. That means it was here before. Why does that inward man need to be rebuilt? Well, because it was dark. It was the inward body, the inward man, that you walk around in heaven with. But you understand, when you go to hell, you have an inward body too. The only difference between someone walking around in heaven with an inward body and someone being tortured in hell with an inward body is that the nature inside that inward body is different. The nature inside the inward body of an unsaved person is dark, because the nature is dark, and it makes the inward body dark and the flesh dark. But you got a new nature, and that new nature, that spirit, that new nature that came from Christ, that new nature brought to light, brought you to life from death. It also brought to life your inner body, your inner man. It brought it to life, and it brought it to light. So now you have an inward body that's alive and light. It used to be full of darkness. Now the generator inside of you, the new nature, is generating light and life. So now you have a live and light inner man, an inner body, and a nature of light, but the outward body is left to dark. So the inner man has to be renewed, rebuilt in the knowledge of God. While the outward man, we want to diminish its ability to tell you what to do. I'll read verse 6. I'm going to jump up to verse 6. And then I'll come back. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, So there's a light that came into you, and it's shining in the darkness. The darkness would be your flesh. And it's the knowledge of God that now, before you were saved, you cannot comprehend the knowledge of God, because your inner man was dark. Your spiritual body was dark. And so you couldn't comprehend light because you weren't of God. But now that you're alive, and your light and your inner man is alive, you now have the ability to understand the deep things of God, the secrets of God, to know God intimately, to worship Him as a Father. Because the new nature brought to life the inner man, that righteousness, that new nature generates righteousness. It is righteousness, but it's in you now, and it is pushing righteousness and holiness and desires for that into your inner man. And as you learn about the things of God, from the truth of God, your inner man comprehends it. But you have an outward man still. And the outward man is what we're trying to put to death and mortify. When it says put to death, it doesn't mean actually kill it, because then we'd be in heaven. But it means to make it submit to death, to play dead. You don't get to tell me what to do anymore. And I'm going to take the desires in you that are trying to tell me what to do and put them to death, that no longer have to desire it. Again, this is along the lines of the question I asked those preachers. Why do Christians desire to sin? Where does the desire to sin, the desire to be less than, the desire to be prideful and envious, where do those desires come from once you're born again? Because once you're born again, your new nature is of God, and your inner man is alive because of that. The desire for brokenness, the desire for hurt, if you've been hurt in the past, the desire for hurt and shame and jealousy and envy and strife all lie in your natural body, the outward man. And praise God, with the help of the Holy Ghost, you and I can begin to put to death every voice of the outward man and begin to bring to light life and rebuild and renew the inner man day by day, which means every day I'm closer to walking in the fullness of Christ that He has given to me by inheritance. But it doesn't happen automatically. Otherwise, the moment I'm saved, I would, all my desires to eat too much, to eat the wrong foods, all my desires to be envious, jealous, strifeful, any desire for unholiness, all that would have disappeared. Why didn't? Because God had to leave you with this natural body until the job is completed and we receive a new body. And until then, we are trapped inside this outward body that we inherited from our earthly family, from Adam. And it does not agree with who God is making you. And now you have a fight. You didn't have a fight before. Now you have a fight. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. So every day means this is a process that takes day by day. It's not instant, but it is complete the moment you're saved. So day by day, my inward man is being rebuilt, being renewed in the knowledge of God. That's why it's so important to pray in tongues, to read your Bible, and spend time with God. Because you can't get knowledge of God from this world. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. So every day also, our outward man is submitted to perishing. It's not perished, it's perishing, it's dying. Because you are not giving up on the path that God has for you. You're not giving up on this walk of the Spirit, the walk into power. Don't get disheartened. Don't lose heart. You may get discouraged. Like, why is this not working? Why is this taking so long? It tells you don't lose heart. Keep fighting the right fight. If you're fighting the right fight, you're going to win. You've already won if you don't quit. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look, now look at verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen. So what's he talking about, the things that are seen? Well, he's talking about the outward man. You can see your outward man. When you got saved, you blinked and your outward man was still there, but you were a new creature on the inside, completely new. The old man had died, but now you still have this body. And there's lots of desires and ambitions inside that body that are no longer of you. So you're struggling with something. You're not a failure. You're struggling with your body. So if you're struggling with wrong desires, quit saying, I am a angry person. Say, I struggle with anger, because you've isolated where the source of the desire of anger comes from. It's not coming from you or your inner man, who God's made you. It's coming from the leftover, the outward man, that is supposed to be perishing day by day. And don't get discouraged in fighting that. Just fight it the right way through prayer and fasting and worship and reading the Word. And you'll find that the inner man, as it rebuilds and renews, that you're also putting to death the outward man. It won't always be like it is today. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen. So we don't look at the outward man, but at the things which are not seen. What's not seen? What can't you see right now? You cannot see your inner man. Your inner man is who you really are. You live inside that inner body, and you have a new nature inside that inner body, while you're still wearing an outward body. So you can't see the inner man. You can't see what you're going to look like in heaven. Now, once you get a little older, like me, and a little more gray, and a little heavier, and all the things that come, a little more wrinkles, you know, we'll be glad when we get to heaven, because I'll be wrinkle-free and gray-free and six-pack abs, and I'll look like the statue of David when I'm in heaven. You'll still recognize me, but I'll be slim and trim. But I can't see that guy yet. I saw something someone wrote. I got a little skinny person inside of me that wants to eat right, but the person that loves cookies ate him. And so I'm a skinny person inside of a cookie-loving... Anyways. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So he's talking really practical here, that we can't see the inner man. Well, we don't look at the outward man. Even though our outward man is broken and not great, or not wanting to serve God the way my inner man does, I don't look at the outward man. I look at the inner man. Because that's who I'm going to be for eternity. This outward man is going to fall off of me, and its thoughts and desires and its plans are going to leave me. One day I'll be walking free, totally free from all things that I fight with my outward man. For the things which are seen, your outward body, are temporary. This body, outward body, is going to fall off you. It's not forever. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The inner man, the inner body, is for eternal. Do you understand? Every person born since Adam is still around. They're still here. They're either in heaven or they're in hell. Their body was returned to dust, but every person born from Adam, every person born since God breathed life into Adam, is still here, is still in existence. They didn't stop. We are designed with eternal bodies that are supposed to live forever. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now I'll read this from the King James. I'm reading out of the New King James. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved like in acid, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So now here he's telling you that you're going to have, don't get discouraged in this world with whatever you're fighting. Understand that this is but for a moment anyway, and God has plans to take this earthly house and dissolve it, to get rid of it, and replace it with an eternal house, another body that will live with unity, in unison with our inner man, and with a new nature, and be able to take the new nature's desire for light and life and holiness and righteousness. The eternal body we live for in eternity, it does not corrupt, it's incorruptible. And so he's saying, don't get discouraged in your battle, no matter how difficult it is. And truthfully, some people have deeper things to overcome than others, but you still are supposed to overcome them. Don't get discouraged. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this transformation of wearing this outward man and an inward man. So I want you to see that. You are a complex species that is not as simple as the world or your neighbor or someone who's not saved. It's not as simple as an animal. You are a complex creature. And being born again made it much more complicated. Humans are much more complicated than apes and cattle. But you are even much more complicated than even a human. Because you're not human anymore. Your nature is now of Christ. You are a child of God if you're born again. For in this we groan. So in all this, this dying and the outward man perishing and the new inward man being renewed day by day, in having a treasure inside earthen vessel and taking the light of the knowledge of Christ and bringing it forward, in this we groan. This is like, oh, groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Now listen to this. If you're not groaning for a new habitation, that means I'm groaning, wishing that I had a new body. I wish I had that eternal body now. I don't want to wait until trumpet sounds. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven. I want to be the man that God's called me to be now. I want to walk in all that goodness and all that holiness and all that gentleness, love, and joy. And I hate that I have to go through this transformation process. I hate that it's taking so long. I wish I could do it faster. And, you know, when we look back at our life, we know we could have made decisions a lot quicker. But we groan like, God, why don't I just wish you could just give me that new body and it'd be done with. I hate this. And so, for in this we groan earnestly. If you're not groaning, if you're satisfied with your life, man, I got life is good. I'm a good person. I go to church. I do all these things. And there's not a fight in you to consistently shed the outward man and bring forward the inner man, then you're not on the transformation process. You're in the settling process. And even though you don't know it, you've been disheartened and you quit pursuing the deep things that God has for you. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So basically, everyone in heaven right now, they're walking around in their inner body. And as they walk around, the scripture here calls them naked. Because until they get their new outward body, when the trumpet sounds, in that instant, they'll all have a new eternal body. And they'll be clothed. For we who are in this tent, so we're in this body, we groan, being burdened. Why are we burdened? Because we're wearing this outward body. Now, your outward body can try to be a Christian, can try to look good, can behave good. You can coach your outward man to behave like a Christian, but it doesn't make it any good for God. You want to make it die. In other words, it totally submits to the inward man. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. I'm burdened, you're burdened with this outward body. Not because we want to be unclothed, not that we want to get out of this earth, and not because we just want not to have a body, but because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. We want to be further clothed. So I want to still live in this world and be a great servant of God and holy in every way and completely the fruit of joy and peace and love, and you find no anger in me, you find no shallowness, you find no selfishness, no pride. I want that. And so I don't want to just get out of here. I want to be here, but I wish I had this outward body now, the new eternal body now, instead of this natural body that I'm wearing. Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality will be swallowed up by life. So that gives you a glimpse of how God legally is making it possible for us to get that new eternal body when it comes, is that the new nature itself already contains the authority for that transformation to happen when it's finished, when death is swallowed up. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And that word guarantee means like a down payment. So it tells you there's payments to be made. Like when you buy a house, you make a down payment, then you make installments until the price is paid in full. So all that imagery is in here in these verses, that the moment you're saved, your new nature was given to you, and the old nature was put to death. And with the old nature being put to death, you actually died. And then God was able to resurrect you in newness of life with that new nature. And that new nature is the power source of righteousness that brought to life the inward body. And the inward body that you wear, which is connected to your outward body, is light and life and alive now. And now it can understand the things of God, but it didn't receive it all the moment it was saved. Now there is a process of renewing, rebuilding with the light of the knowledge of Christ into the inner man. And then at the same time, you are putting to death the thoughts and desires and plans and emotions of the outward man. And so there's a guarantee, a down payment. This is a process. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Simply meaning that, not that you're not in Christ right now or not connected to God right now, being a child of God, but physically you are absent from God. There will be a time that physically you'll be face to face with God and walking with God every moment of the day. So while we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So this verse in context means quit being discouraged in the battle you're in fighting the outward man. Don't give up fighting the outward man. Even though you're groaning and wishing it would be quick and wishing it would be done, this is a process of transformation. This is the process we go through from what God gave us in the new nature. That now allowed us to begin to walk it out and gain the knowledge of Christ. So many Christians get so busy serving God, they don't take the time to grow in the knowledge of God, in the light of God. And it's that knowledge is what is renewing the inner man and rebuilding the knowledge, because all the knowledge it had before was dark. And so when you were born again, that new nature brought the inward man to life, and all the knowledge of darkness was washed away. By the blood of Jesus, you were clean. But now you have to learn who you are and learn who God is in your life. And you have an outward man that has all the opinions about who you are. But that's not who you are anymore. That's who you're battling. That's not who you are anymore. That's who you're battling. If you were hurt and wounded and broken when you were a kid, stop saying, I'm broken. Stop saying, I'm wounded, I'm hurt. Because really, you are not hurt. You are not broken, but you are wearing a body that is broken and a body that's hurt. So you can say, I fight with brokenness. I fight with hurts, but I don't accept it. So when that emotion of hurt comes and says, you're a failure, the emotion of brokenness comes and says, look what happened to you, you poor child. You then look at that emotion and know where it's coming from, your outward man. And you're allowed to say, I don't accept you. Because that hurt and that brokenness didn't happen to me. The person that happened to is dead. I'm a new person in Christ. So you're allowed to say, I don't accept you hurt, because you're not of me. And see, you're not hurt. You're not broken. You're maybe fighting it, and we don't discount the battle you're in. And that's what it's talking about. You're in a battle. Be glad that you're in a battle. Because without being born again, you wouldn't even know that you were in a battle. You're in a battle, thank God, because it's showing you're fighting. That shows that you're trying. You know how many Christians don't even realize that they have an inner man and an outward man, and they just live in life, and they're very carnal in their thinking. Hey, at least you acknowledge, I'm in a fight. I don't like this. I don't want this in my life. Well, there's a path here is telling you that if you walk this path out, you're in a path of transformation. You're a path of putting to death the outward man and renewing the inner man. So walk by faith. Walk by what you can't see. This is who I am. I am the man I can't see that's going to walk around heaven with joy and peace and no anger and jealousy, no hurts, no insecurities, no pride, no desires for sin. That's who I am. I walk by faith, and I don't walk by sight when I fight this emotions and desires and thoughts that are contrary to who God says I am. And I get to put that guy to death. A little every day, and eventually he'll quit talking. And all I have is a clothing, an outfit, a house that does what I tell it to do. I groan and desire that day that I'll have an outward man that completely agrees with my inward man. When I have an outward man that's not broken or insecure or prideful, I won't have to fight it. But I'm going to keep fighting it every day and putting it to death every day. But we don't have to wait until heaven. We can make this body submit. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we're definitely confident. See, there's a confidence here. It says, look, you need to be confident that even though you're fighting it, it doesn't mean you're that loser. It doesn't mean you're not going to get to heaven. If you're fighting it, that means that you're fighting it. So keep fighting it. There's whole doctrines built on not fighting it, on how to get God to accept you as you are. God accepts you as you are as a person, but he doesn't want to leave you as you are. So quit trying to get God to just, God, just love me as I am. Just love me this way. God has great things for you, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you this walk. It's going to cost you this transformation. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Keep pressing into God. And if you fight the right fight, if you listen to me preach, you'll learn the right fight that we believe and teach is praying the Spirit, fasting, spending time in worship, meditating, confessing the Word of God, obeying God. That's the right fight. Don't beat the air. But don't get discouraged. Don't get disheartened because it's taking too long. Look at how far you've come. Don't give up. You're going to make it. Keep fighting the right fight. I love that we got to spend some time today. God bless you.